So many of us have been there. You battle your way through airport traffic, dump your water, remove your shoes, and you step through the body scanner. At long last, you make it to your seat on the plane, and then you must decide to recline or not to recline. This seemingly small question now feels urgent and polarizing ever since a viral video showed a man on an American Airlines flight punching the back of a seat that a woman in front of him had tilted back. So today we're talking about airplane etiquette. Do you recline when flying, or are you anti-reclining? Are you one of the 2 million-plus people who've seen this video of that flight? Who's really in the wrong here? Give us a ring. We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Joining us in Studio 3 to help sort through all these important airline etiquette questions is Brenda Wynn. She's a Boston-based travel writer who runs Wandering Boston Eater, a travel and food Instagram account. Brenda, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Thank you for having me.
Also with us on the line from the Emily Post Institute in Vermont is Daniel Post Senning. He's the great-great-grandson of Emily Post and a co-author of Emily Post's Etiquette, 19th edition. Daniel, welcome to you as well.
It's good to be with you.
All right, Brenda, can I just start with you for some of the basics here? In case there's someone out there who hasn't seen this video for themselves, I'd like to just describe what's in it. I sort of gave a little synopsis at the top, but this is the last row and the second to last row on the plane. What happens, Brenda?
Yeah, so what happens is during the meal session, the man in the last row, he asks the woman who's sitting in front of him to not recline her seat because of the meal tray. So she obliges. She, you know, moves her seat up front. But once the meal is over, then she reclines her seat again. And afterwards, he begins to punch her seat.
And she films the whole thing?
She filmed the whole thing because she didn't feel comfortable talking to him about how he was punching her seat. She did try to flag the flight attendant. It looks like the flight attendant did not want to participate, or so the story goes. And ultimately, she received a notice saying that she was the one that was a disturbance on the flight.
Okay.
So it's quite fascinating.
It is. And of course, the video is just a snapshot. We don't know all the context of what happens before and after. We haven't heard from the man who's shown in the video, but we have heard from the woman. Her name is Wendy Williams, and she spoke with CNN yesterday. She said she actually tried to engage with this man before she started filming, but she says it didn't go well.
There was something wrong with the whole thing, you know, that he could verbalize that he wanted me to not recline while he ate, but then when I reclined again, that he, you know, just immediately started throwing punches. So, yeah, it wasn't something I felt was negotiable at that point.
All right, Daniel, let me come to you then. I mean, you've seen this video as well. I mean, what is the proper etiquette here? Where did this interaction go off the rails?
Well, in some ways, I want to go all the way back to the airline that puts people in this incredibly awkward and difficult situation where there's an option that's presented, this reclining seat, and yet we're confined in spaces where to exercise that option is really to impose on someone else. Now, having said that, I don't ever want to suggest that it's okay to punch the back of the seat in front of you. So, I mean, I'm going to draw a really hard line and say that anytime you're physically intimidating someone else, you're in the wrong. There's no excuse for that kind of behavior. And I would have really liked to have seen the person with the authority in the situation, in this case, it would be the flight attendant, deal with this situation much more promptly. And if they didn't, I would want any passenger to feel comfortable getting up, leaving their seat, and insisting that the person with the authority deals with the situation the way they should.
All right, we're talking about airplane etiquette after that viral video that's been making the rounds on the internet for a couple of weeks. We're chatting with Daniel Post Senning, who is the co-author of Emily Post's Etiquette, 19th edition, and Boston-based travel writer Brenda Wynn. And you, if you'd like to chime in, the number is 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Lauren is in Somerville. Go ahead, Lauren. What do you think?
Hi. I find this whole incident very interesting because I am over 6 feet tall and I'm originally from California. So I do a lot of coast to coast travel. So I'm very familiar with how frustrated people are to not fit in airline seats. But I also feel that people should be allowed to lean their seat back. If it's an inconvenience, I've asked people before or frankly apologize because if I cross my legs and uncross them, I'm going to bump their seat. But I really hope that this woman in particular sues the man behind her because he basically assaulted her. And if he had punched her on the street and there was a bag between them or like another person, he would be in serious trouble for that. And this is just crazy to me.
Well, thanks for the ring, Lauren. And the woman, Wendy Williams, has in fact been threatening to sue, although she's thinking about suing the airline, American Airlines, for defamation because of that that angry notice that Brenda mentioned earlier. Let's take one more while we're at it. Evan is in Brighton. Go ahead, Evan.
Hey there. Yeah, I would chime in. I definitely don't condone his behavior, but I will say, as a taller flyer, I don't think a lot of people realize that height is a privilege in some ways, and the world just generally isn't designed for taller people. In some cases, when I fly, I actually get bruises on my legs from people reclining. I think it would be awesome if airlines just disabled that functionality entirely.
All right, Evan, thank you for the ring. So how about that, Brenda? I mean, so if folks can't see us, you and I are on the smaller in stature side. We don't have this problem, but we just heard from Evan and Lauren, who are both tall folks, saying, you know, look, maybe it's an advantage in other aspects of life, but on a plane, it's a real pain in the neck. We're already cramped in there, and folks who were thinking about reclining in front of us ought to be more considerate. Are they right?
You know, it's really curious because I think about how each airline is so different in terms of what their seats are like and what the width of their seats are, the comfortability of seats. And it's become a tool of marketing now at this point where it's, hey, we have more leg room. So for me, going back to what Evan was saying about how height is a privilege, I think overall the question becomes, when did being comfortable become a privilege? Because, you know, if you're in an economy seat, you're in this very small seat, airlines are trying to cram in as many seats as possible to turn over a profit, and they're trying to really increase the price or give you a separate ticket if you're able to afford getting that extra legroom or going up to business class. So overall, when did it become a privilege to be comfortable? And why isn't it more standardized so that way people know what exactly to expect as they're going in? They know exactly, no matter what airline you're going on, that you understand what the seats are going to be like, whether it can recline or not recline. So that way you're able to start developing certain behaviors as to whether or not you can react or not react to a scenario.
Well, just to put some numbers on the comfort that you're describing there, Brenda. So the website Trip Savvy, which tracks these things, says that the average seat pitch in coach on a U.S. airline is between 30 and 33 inches. And Time Magazine reports that some are even as small as 28 inches. And this is all down from the average in the early 2000s of 34 inches. So it's not your imagination, folks. The seats are getting smaller. And meanwhile, sort of this flyers advocacy group called Flyers Rights in 2018 sued the FAA, saying you should step in and regulate the size of seats and legroom. And the FAA declined. Daniel, I wonder, is that something that they need to do right now? If people can't just sort of, you know, conduct themselves with more courtesy with one another, do we need a regulator to step in here and do something about it?
Well, I'm the eternal optimist. I think that our good natures will prevail. I love Brenda's idea of standardizing it, and I like the language of so people know what to expect going in. Social expectations work for us because they give us some sense of both what we can expect from others and how we can prepare ourselves. And I love to recommend to people that they prepare themselves for these oftentimes awkward and difficult situations. You can affect the greatest change by controlling the things that you have the most control over, and that's your own behaviors and your own reactions and responses. So prepare yourself with a smile on your face, a little patience in your heart, some goodwill to your fellow travelers who may or may not be in as positive a state of mind. And I think that we're going to collectively take responsibility for these shared spaces in the best possible ways.
So no surprise, folks feel very strongly on both sides of this issue. Let's hear from a few more people. You're lining up on the phones. David is in Pawtucket. Go ahead, David.
Hello. Yeah, so the responsibility is on the airline here, not the riders. You shouldn't have to choose whether you can recline your seat or not. It's the greed of airlines that makes you uncomfortable. If there's no space, you know, you can't be comfortable, like the young lady was saying. And my other point was, you should be able to recline, because if you've ever sat in a plane and sat straight up the whole time, it's so uncomfortable. But thank you very much.
David, thanks for the ring. Arlene is in Salem. Let's take one more. Go ahead, Arlene.
Yes, good afternoon. Thank you for taking my call. I think that, you know, it goes both ways. The gentleman who was hitting his seat at the lady in front of her, perhaps he should have said, you know, I'm a little cramped back here, would you consider, because you don't have to push it all the way back, you can recline it a little bit, but also the person that was sitting next to the gentleman that could have said, hey, you know, that's not, you know, the right thing to do. Sometimes you have to step in out of your comfort zone and bring somebody into reality and say, you know, that's not good behavior. Like, what are you doing? You know,
Arlene, thank you. If you'd like to chime in again, the number to join the conversation is 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Daniel, post-sending, let me pick up Arlene's point there. I mean, she's saying that there was really sort of like a collective failure of common courtesy by a lot of parties on this flight. I mean, not just the two that we see in the video, but perhaps also the flight attendants and people sitting around them. What do you think?
I think there is a lot of power in social accountability to people around us. And sometimes just a glance can be enough to bring someone's attention to something that they're doing that they might not even be aware of, something less egregious than this particular example. And that kind of social accountability can be really powerful. I also like to tell people if they don't want to confront something like that, there are other alternatives and options. There are people who have the authority to deal with these situations in public spaces, and it is okay to turn to those people as things escalate.
I do want to mention what the airline itself has said. So this is the statement from American Airlines, and they say simply, quote, "We are aware of a customer dispute that transpired on American Eagle Flight 4392. The safety and comfort of our customers and team members is our top priority, and our team is looking into the issue." So not a whole lot of weighing in one side or the other there. We did hear, though, recently from another airline executive. So Ed Bastian is the chief executive of Delta Airlines. He was asked about this in an interview on CNBC last week, and here's his position on ReclineGate.
I think customers have the right to recline. We've been testing reduced recline and seeing response on that. We actually have a fair amount of our fleet on a reduced recline. But I think the proper thing to do is if you're gonna recline into somebody that you ask if it's okay first, and then you do it. I think if someone knows there's a tall person behind them and they want to recline their seat, I think the polite thing would be to make certain it was okay.
So, Brenda Wynn, we hear Delta CEO Ed Bastian making a few points there. He's saying that, you know, it'd be polite to just ask, you know, think about the size of the person behind you. But he basically says, look, you have the right to recline. And by the way, they don't go back all that far. This is something else we've seen, too, right? I mean, it's not like these are lay flat seats in coach.
Right. They're I think they only go back like 2 inches, if you're lucky.
If you're lucky.
Yeah, exactly. So I actually want to go back to Daniel's point about power and social accountability, too. And just to Bastian's point as well about how it's okay to ask. So I guess this comes up to the point of, you know, if somebody is in the back seat, they're in the last row, they're taller than, you know, the seat allows them to be essentially, maybe it is okay to ask. And I understand that, you know, when you're choosing your flights and you're going through the ticket process of checking in, you have the option of choosing your seat then at that point, too. And some seats do, again, cost more than others. But then it's okay to ask and say, hey, this seat is actually a lot more uncomfortable than I'm, you know, able to, you know, manage right now. Is somebody willing to switch seats with me? And I've actually been somebody who has switched seats because, again, to your point, I'm 5 feet tall, so I have the height privilege when it comes to a plane.
Right, in that particular arena. I wonder, Brenda, what did you make of the gender dynamic that we saw in this video? The term manspreading has been injected into the popular lexicon here. This is not, it wasn't sort of spreading out side to side as we usually think of it, but this was a case perhaps of a man sitting in the back row who seemed to think he was entitled to more space than her reclined seat in front of him was allowing.
And, you know, I think gender aside, it's very uncomfortable to be in a back row in the first place, too, because of, again, the lack of reclining ability on the seat. So I think it's just important that, you know, not to confuse and start deterring, you know, the other source of issues and try to really focus on what is actually the root cause of this issue right now. And I guess for me and my perspective, the root cause would be ultimately the airline doesn't give enough space.
All right, let's try to squeeze in a few more calls. Lucia is in Reading. Lucia, what do you think about the whole situation? Go ahead, Lucia.
Hi, it's Insia.
Lucia, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No problem. I was just saying that, you know, just having the reclining seats is a great option. And unfortunately, just because we cannot be courteous or tolerating of this situation, I feel like this will go in this direction where half the seats will be reclinable and half will not be, and you will get a surcharge for the reclining seats, and they'll probably be selling the non-reclining seats a little cheaper. And I feel like we all lose with this situation, you know, where for the comfort that we all have right now, we'll have to then pay a surcharge for.
Lucia, thanks for the ring. How about Janet? Go ahead, Janet. We've just lost you. I'm sorry. Let's try Pam is in Groton. Go ahead, Pam.
Hi, this is Pam. I just wanted to say that I'm a frequent flyer. I do believe that this is not an issue of reclining seats. This is an issue where the airlines need to make the seats larger, not only so that they are able to recline, but also in the width as well. It's an issue on almost every flight that I go on that, you know, this becomes a problem. And I do believe that that gentleman who, well, he's no gentleman, that banged that woman should be in jail.
Okay, strong take there from Pam. Although consistent, Brenda, you did sort of an informal poll on this on your Instagram account, right? And the public was very divided. What did you find there?
You know, it's quite fascinating. So just a couple hours ago, I posted a poll on my Instagram story just to see, you know, are you pro reclining seat? Are you no reclining seat? And right now, that's really, you know, just tapering between that 50-50 line. It just keeps on going over the 50-50 line, and it's just a world divided right now. But then I asked a second question afterwards where I said, are you okay with the person sitting in front of you reclining the seat? And to that, it seems like it's more than 60% of the people who have pulled into my story so far have stated, yeah, they're okay with that too. So it does seem like right now the majority is okay with reclining seats if it's in front of you. But whether or not someone chooses to personally recline the seat is kind of a world divided.
Interesting. Unscientific poll, I'll note, but an interesting
data
point.
Just a fun social experiment,
exactly.
Essentially.
Let's try to squeeze in one more call while we can. Stephen is in Newbury. Go ahead, Stephen.
Hi. What I do with a person that's reclining too much is simply turn on my overhead light and move it so it's as forward as much as possible. And also with the airflow, I turn it on and move it as forward as much as possible so the person in front of me enjoys more light and more airflow. That usually causes a reversal of inclination.
Okay, Stephen, thank you for the ring. All right, Daniel Post sending. You know I'm coming to you on this one. How does that register on the etiquette meter? It's not punching, but it sounds like maybe a subtle message there that's not so polite.
Oh, boy, fighting fire with fire. Something came up earlier where I believe it was the CEO was talking about it's your right to recline. Essentially, it's within what's allowed to you, so you can do it if you want. And I want to remind everyone that with rights come responsibilities, that you also have the right to say just about anything you want. And that doesn't mean it's always okay to do that. And I think Lucia reminded us that if we don't handle our rights well, if we don't handle them with responsibility, sometimes they get removed or we don't have as much access to them. So rather than take that low road, I'm going to put on my best etiquette advice hat and say, keep the high ground. It's the place you want to be. You never know when you're going to end up with 2 million views on the internet.
All right. So no, you know, warfare with the lights and the blowers. Let's just try to be civil to one another. Daniel Post Senning is the great-great-grandson of Emily Post and a co-author of Emily Post Etiquette 19th Edition. Daniel, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Also with us was Brenda Wynn. She's a Boston-based travel writer who runs Wandering Boston Eater, a travel and food Instagram account. Brenda, thanks to you as well.
Thank you so much.